Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello and welcome into another episode of the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Mike here hosting for the first time tonight, I'm pretty sure. Got the boys here with me. After a long hiatus away in the islands, Cleon is back, my man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm back.
How's the sciatica?
It's manageable now. I still feel it. Doesn't hurt. It's not pain anymore, but it's still there. It's a little, just a little this slight discomfort, but I'm back in the swing of things.
That's good, man. Happy to have you back. And then, of course, we got Eddie the Commish back after a little couple episodes off, man. How you doing? How you feeling?
Was it a couple? You know, I drop in. I forget how long it's been, and I do all the dads pretty much, you know. So I try to keep a presence around. But good to be back. It's good to have a little time to calm down after the, you know, the Miami screw job. But you know, here we are with my buddies. I'm looking forward to picking up where we left off and then catching up on what we missed.
Definitely a little bit of a screw job there. But yeah, we're going to talk all about that. And we got a full house. Got Alex Ryder here with us as well. Mr. Ryder, how you doing, my friend, down in Naples, Fort Myers?
Naples. It's nice to do this pod after a week, because if we had done an episode even a day after, I would have been a mess. So it's good to have some of the long missing people, Eddie serving some family duties and Cleon on international duty and injured duty for that matter. So it's just nice to talk this kind of stuff out and do it with a much more stabilized mind, because that was a lot and we have a lot to talk about. So
that we do, my friend. We got plenty to talk about. And before we get into that too crazy, let's go ahead and give some shout outs to our sponsors. First out is Leo over at Epic Mortgage. If you're interested in any kind of lending questions or anything in regards to mortgages, Leo is the man. Definitely recommend reaching out to him. Of course, we also got Eddie. That's the commish right over here with Comparian Insurance. If you got any insurance questions, all sorts of insurances, home, auto, all that fun stuff, especially in the state of Florida, we know that home insurance is not a fun place to be right now. He's got your hookup. He'll help you out there. He's helped out a lot of listeners as well, so definitely recommend that. And as always, the OG sponsor, Manscaped, just kidding. No, Field Turf USA. Shout out to Field Turf, all those beautiful fields that they've been laying and doing all sorts of fun stuff as well. So shout out to Field Turf, even though Cleon's still bitter that we didn't get the Atlanta road trip this year. But let's get into it, fellas. We've got to go ahead and discuss the elephant in the room, and that is the fact that Orlando City is out of the League's Cup in the round of 32. We fell to Inter, Pompano, Broward, Messi. And
no, that's just straight up Inter Messi at this point, bro.
Inter Messi. Yeah, we can go ahead and go
there. Nothing else at this point. It's just Inter Messi.
Inter Messi ref.
Bro, like legit. It's not even you're playing Inter Miami. We're playing Messi tonight. That's what everybody says. You're playing Messi. And, it's true. You know, and Messi right. Rules.
Yeah, it's the truth. Yeah, and it's so weird too. All these people coming out of woodwork, they think they're bringing in new fans to the league. All you're doing is just bringing the underbelly that you've seen in Europe already, of the people whose entire personality is based on supporting one person. Like you could ask them, "What do you want to eat?" And it just, the answer is Messi's better than Pinaldo. You know, like it doesn't matter what you say, their entire personality is just based on supporting one guy who could care less about them.
In South Florida, they're falling out of the palm trees like iguanas in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Disney, I saw one, and then at the Orlando City game, I saw a little kid in a full kit wanker, you know, messy thing walking right next to me. It's like, what kind of father does that to their kid, you know, in Orlando games?
Is it a real kit? Because I saw even when I was in Charlotte, like I went to Charlotte before Messi even arrived on these shores, and I saw Messi kits in the streets of Charlotte being sold by street vendors. It's like, at what are any of these real kits?
I guarantee you right now, you could go to your local mall and there's going to be a booth or a kiosk in the middle of it that's going to be selling fake soccer jerseys or football jerseys, and you're going to find a Messi in there, and it's going to be the pink pink jersey. It's just not going to have any Adidas patches on it. You know how I know? Because I've seen it. Like, they're out there everywhere.
Never mind their sponsor, which, does anybody know what their sponsor actually does?
I know it's got something to do with crypto.
It's crypto or something,
XB
right?
Something crypto, which is shocking considering the crypto sponsor for their basketball arena just went up in smoke.
Well, it's perfect for Miami. Their mayor has his own crypto or something like that.
He's trying to sell tickets for Messi matches.
He's not selling tickets if you Venmo to his presidential campaign.
What is his name?
Suarez?
Suarez, yeah, something.
Suarez, I think.
Francis.
That's how I found out he was running for president.
I don't know. Right. I'm going to keep
on Twitter.
Political opinions off this podcast. If you want my political
using Messi as a political stepping stool?
Yeah, we'll save that for our We Report, You Decide podcast coming soon.
Yeah, so just to you know, kind of bring us back, rein us back in here. So Messi scores 7th minute early in the game. I felt like we were controlling the game pretty well. He goes ahead and gets behind the defense. We got caught ball watching. I'm not going to try and excuse that. Then we kind of got back into the game. Cesar tied it up 17 minutes in. So we're 1-1 going into halftime. And I felt like going into half, we were actually pretty solid. I felt like we were definitely competing. It wasn't like the game was out of reach. And we were in good shape. And then halftime happened. And what happened when we came back from halftime? The ref decided to make a decision. A decision that a lot of people are confused by, including pundits, including ourselves. And that was a penalty called on for Joseph Martinez on Antonio Carlos for a phantom grab that he went down to the ground for. VAR supposedly checked it and confirmed it. This is something that I saw debated heavily, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that happened, the penalty happened, and then Messi scored again in the 72nd minute because obviously we were subbing and pushing numbers forward to try and find an equalizer, and we got caught out at the back. That goal, honestly, not mad about. You know, we were going for the game to try and tie it up. Can't be too mad. We did score again in like the 92nd minute. Cesar Araujo scored a second, and that was wiped off for an offsides where the official did go to the monitor to actually take a look at it. So they are able to do that.
You said it before I could even get in. They can actually go to the monitor. I was shocked by that because I haven't seen that yet in this tournament.
It is starting to happen more and more, especially if you saw what happened in the debacle between Club America and Nashville last night. You will see that there were some things that occurred. That's where we stand. Obviously, we bow out of the tournament. Miami's already played a game since then. They beat Dallas in a thriller 4-4, which was a super fun game as a neutral, and a neutral hoping that they would get knocked out of this tournament. I'm not even going to lie about that. I don't know. As far as the penalty goes, that really changed the game. The old statement is that goals change games. Poppy came out in a press conference saying that this wasn't a game. This was a circus. We could find more direct quotes. You could probably find them through, Mike Gramajo or Austin David tweeting stuff like that. They've definitely posted more of the direct quotes that came out from Oscar Pereja, but he called it what it was. And the fact that it was a spectacle, it was a circus, and we didn't necessarily play a game of football when the decisions were being made that they were. So frustrating to see, the interpretation on the penalty kick. The argument that I heard in a couple podcasts that I listened to, obviously Hercules Gomez, someone who's been very outspoken on this tournament from ESPN, he said that is never a penalty. A couple people from MLS and Apple said that that's something that is never a penalty. Taylor Twellman was very outspoken saying that it should not have been a penalty. But one of the things that I saw getting thrown around was that they couldn't say that it wasn't necessarily a grab because they can't adjudicate that there wasn't enough force on the grab to overturn that it was a penalty, which to me, that's not the the way that VAR should be used. You can look at VAR and understand what should be going on. But Eddie, I'm going to go ahead and toss it over to you first. The penalty, the game, overall, let me know your thoughts.
I mean, I've been saying this since Messi was coming. Since Miami started, it's going to be there's too much at stake for the league, for the brand, for all of that stuff, for Miami to fail like they have been, for Miami to not get all this attention. They need big markets to do big things, right? That's what MLS has been about. And NYC won, LA does LA things, LAFC won, etc. So this is something that when you know, in a single entity league, there's vested interest in it. And it's not about conspiracies or anything like that. It's about, you know, there's always stuff going on in sports. So Italy had match fixing. France had match fixing in the 90s. Italy in the 2000s and late 90s. And there's some English games you look at that just look mad suspicious, you know. And in this case, when you have a single entity league and you have you bend over backwards to make a messy thing happen, you have situations like that where you can interpret VAR to be as, you know, the kind of bean counter interpretation that you want in order to get the result you want. That's what happened there. Oh, we don't know, determine, but you know, you could look into anything and twist it the way you want. And that's what happened. That's not a normal way VAR is used. That is not a normal call. Jose Martinez just dove. Messi was out there calling fouls all the time. Messi, people are finally seeing this guy's always been a bit of a douche to, you know, my opinion. He's just quiet and people think he's nice, but he's always been a bit of a douche. And he goes out and chops down Wilter, got the hand up for no reason. He's out there trucking Cesar Araujo on yellow. Then Wilder gets a ball, hits his chest. Messi calls for a handball, he gets a handball. Messi calls for a yellow, he gets a yellow. That's what added to it, because Messi's not the one who dove for the penalty. It was that, you know. And then at that point, it's 2-1, and we have to send all attackers, and we're out of shape, and then they catch us on a counterattack, and that's it. But once they got that second goal, it changed things. We're not a team that's always going to come back from behind, and it's hard to just kind of we all saw the injustice happening, but when it happened and it was that egregious, it hurt, man. It felt wrong. It felt helpless. It's a word someone had told me. It just felt like, what are you supposed to do with that? You know, I just felt like our boys got ripped off. They played hard. They focused. Oscar was right for calling it a circus and saying, even if it's messy, you got to call these calls. But did this arrogance from a group of fans that are arrogant, a group of a culture there that's already arrogant, to have that kind of arrogance where they feel like they can get away with these things and get away with them, is incredibly frustrating, because they haven't done anything as a club. They haven't been around long enough. They haven't achieved anything. And all they did was just find a way to cook the books to bring someone in because it benefited the entire league, and because he likes to be near beaches and eat beef every day or whatever. So, you know, it's frustrating. I felt so bad for our guys. I really did, man. And so it felt bad for everyone who traveled there. There's been a lot of strong reactions from people who were there, because they witnessed that live too, to see that. And it was borderline traumatic, because of how blatant it was to me. What was going on was not the right way to go about things.
No, I think you definitely said it well. And I we're obviously taking this in a lot more calm and measured manner. If you guys were tuning in with us when we did the Den After Dark right after it, I hosted that as well. And I had a lot more emotions and things to say, but I really echo what Eddie just said there. At the end of the day, I just feel bad for the boys, man. They played their heart out. They played a good game, and they got hard done by for that. I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to Alex, man. Let me know how you're thinking. What are your thoughts on the game?
I mean, Ricardo's circus tent emoji tweet was all we really needed to see, but I had to go through a real ringer for this one, because I came on this pod 2 days before the match and predicted a win. And then I went the next night on
The Battered Herons podcast.
Battered, broken, fix by Messi, whatever they want to call it. They won't listen to us. This, I know they'll say bad things about me from what I said on some of their podcasts, but I went on their podcast and they asked me, do you guys think that you guys are already preparing for the refs are going to fix this for Miami, that they're going to ruin this and for you guys, and Messi's going to get it all and all that jazz. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to be entirely about that. I think that the team that plays against you guys has to play well and has to play against that. And that's where Orlando came up short. We had some issues. We went after Messi. We Araujo, and we'll get to studs and duds, but went after him and aggravated him and got a yellow card out of him. But it came up short. And while the penalty on Yosef is just aggravating because they didn't go to VAR and didn't look at it or anything, it's incredible to me that this match was not as close as it should have been. I predicted 2-2 going to PKs both on this podcast and Broken Whatever. But it was closer than it should have been. And that one call kind of shifted the whole momentum of the game. And it hurt our guys. We should have been able to react to that, but we didn't. So I'm sad that we got knocked out. It's League's Cup. This is the first year of the expanded format. But it's very clear that with Messi in this and how it's looking, even after we're podcasting, even after the Dallas game, which was a whole different event, it's looking like it's being formatted for Messi to go as far as he can. And even if the foul wasn't on Messi, Miami's getting the benefit of the doubt.
There you go.
Our guys played well. They played well early. They shoved it down Miami's throat, but it wasn't enough. And no. we have to live with that. And we have to, at this point, it's about a week and a half until we get to play again. Some of the guys played for OCB tonight, but it is what it is. And we have to use that rest to rebound, go forward, and show Miami that even though they might be doing well in League's Cup and in Open Cup, they are very likely not to make MLS Cup playoffs. So
there you go. I think you said it there. I'll go ahead and shout it over to Cleon. Cleon, I got a question for you. What color ink do you think we used to circle 924 on our calendar?
Man, it don't even matter what's
big bold red.
It really don't even matter.
I thought Cleon was gonna say green because all the money made from the tickets.
I was gonna say green because Alex isn't on this pod.
Hey, so. I still got two left.
I gave him a shout out on the other one. Yeah. Parents and
my other two got sold, Cleon.
I got two left. I haven't checked in a while. I gotta double check that. Yeah. But Going back to Alex, it's not even that call kind of shifted. That call absolutely shifted the entire match. It was a close match. It was 50-50, and at this point, that's what it's going to be. Anytime if Miami is in trouble or they need any type of assistance, If it's any chance of anything 50-50, it's going to go their way every single time. Just like
Carlos
Antonio. Yeah. If they have, yeah, that's what I mean with Messi, with I mean, I said it while the game was on. It's like if we were to knock him out, like at that point, that entire tournament's a bust. And it is. That entire tournament for the league, for Apple, it's a complete bust. And there's no way they're gonna let it happen. If you've seen it in every single match so far. If it's tight or in FC Dallas case, if they're losing, if any 50-50, any chance they get with when it comes to a call, a decision that needs to be made in their favor or against or whatever, it's going to go their way every single time. And there's no way around it. They're gonna call if it's tight and you challenge the ball and it's at top of that key, it's anywhere in that center of that pitch where they know he can hit that. They're calling it every time. And they have. They'll call it. Antonio Carlos, there was a fancy foul, but just for him sticking that arm out there, he gave him any reason to blow it. And you give any reason, they're going to do it. VAR, no need for that. You know what I mean? No need for that.
What's a monitor? What even is a monitor?
No need for that.
It's the same thing that you say in boxing or MMA is don't leave the refs or the judges a chance to make a decision. Yeah. Like, yeah, go for the knockout blow yourself. That's what I was saying.
Don't give them space.
Yeah, it's nothing you can do, man. It's just they're going to – you're going to have to absolutely pocket Messi. And you run off a bunch of goals. And for you to have that chance and for to completely take it out of the ref's hands to where they can't impact it whatsoever, like you're going to have to play perfect. You're going to have to absolutely play perfect. You're going to have to play him perfect. You're going to have to pocket him and hold him down to, you know, maybe hold him without a first half goal or something like that. You're going to have to get at least a couple goal lead. And
well, if I could chime in, you know, Cleon's right, but you have to play perfect. Look at Dallas. They had the multiple goal lead. They almost played perfect, and then the own goal. And then after that, they decided not to pass it to their teammates anymore. And every single player, no matter where they were on the pitch, decided to take on entire Miami lineup. Like, nobody like passed to each other after they got 4-3. They wet the bed. Messi cheated on his free kick, etc. You know, and then this guy looked like prime Ronaldo, and you know, jumping up in the air and heading into his own goal. The most suspicious own goal I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
Cowboys were proud.
Yeah, smashed it center cut right down the pipe, you know, right, bends it up on the center there, the top of the box. You know, it was so crazy. But I don't mind losing to Miami. I mean, yes, I do. That would suck. Right, we've lost to them before, and it sucks every time. It's but losing in a way where it's a normal way of playing. But like, say so the amount of the viewership that they have to the stark contrast has to be incredible. Where any Messi related Leagues Cup match versus a non Messi related Leagues Cup match, and then add to that just like no Mexican teams in there. You know, if you just MLS versus MLS Leagues Cup game, those ratings must be trash. And literally, if Messi failed, if we eliminated Messi, it was going to cost people millions of dollars. Literally, that's how big of a move that was. It was that's how important to knock him out in the round that was 16 or whatever it was, to knock them out of that and to lose to Orlando City and stuff is just it would have been too much. And look, I've been a now boxing fan my whole life. They get to play Charlotte. Yeah, I've been a boxing fan my whole life, And you know, one of the big rivalries in Puerto Rican boxing is against Mexicans, right? Mexicans and Puerto Ricans. If you find a Puerto Rican during the Puerto Rican Day Parade in Madison Square Garden, don't go to the judges. They're probably going to get it. If you find a Mexican in L.A. or Vegas around Cinco de Mayo, they're probably going to get the calls. That's how it works. You don't leave the cars to the judges. And with Messi, any chance where they can justify it, it's going to be justified, etc. You know, so like Cleon said.
Yeah, so I mean, we've talked a lot about this. We talked a lot about the officiating and the game. So I'll just leave it at this and go one more question real quick before we go ahead and move on. I'll start with you first, Alex. Do you think that we fell short, or with what happened in this result, did we expect more out of the team? I feel like most of us kind of said around a 16 grade is kind of the expected. We wanted to at least get there, but given the circumstances, are we upset? Obviously we're upset, but like, you know, how do we feel about exiting where we did?
I'm sad, but I'm not disappointed. I think this was more of a, the club came out and they did what they did. And unfortunately, our biggest sin was going after Messi and having some of our dark arts masters go after Messi and unfortunately miss him. Some of us got yellow cards, but even then, the yellow cards and the second yellow cards vanished into thin air and they didn't happen, and it is what it is. So we tried to do some of the things we've done in the league this year and it didn't work, and that's okay. But we have to be able to rely on more than just being aggressive beyond the scoring aspect. So
yeah,
we pressed early and we scored, but having Cesar and Felipe go after Messi and try and goad him into something didn't result in what we wanted, because it made Messi mad. And as friendly as he may look, he's not a friendly guy. If you goat him into it, he's going to goat you back.
Oh, well, that's the thing, is you never want to get into a headbutt fight with a goat. That's 100% sure. But I will say, I do like that we were able to get him visibly frustrated in the first half,
which is kind of the victory we should take from it, which is why I have, well, like you were talking about earlier, it's like I tweeted, is it September 24th yet? Like, I won't be there. I don't have that kind of money, especially considering my wife just bought Miami 2024 Taylor Swift tickets, but that's a whole different thing. But that's like a big calendar circle for me, because in a real MLS, like A-list or B-plus list pro referee environment, we may possibly, don't quote me on this, have a chance. And I have to go back on the Happy Goat podcast or whatever it's called and talk to them about that. So
I'm sure that we might be making some enemies with the way that you're speaking of them right now, and you're not going to be invited back. So
they don't listen. They talk bad about me, I'm sure. So
we'll leave it at that. But speaking of that, yeah, the tickets are exorbitant on the 24th, but that is right before my birthday. So if anyone wants to donate a ticket to me, I will appreciate it. But Cleon, well, where are you on the disappointment scale as far as the exit in the round of 32?
It's kind of the same as the League's Cup, man. I mean, I'm sorry, not League's Cup. The same as the CCL, where we were just kind of doomed from the start because of, we just got, out of everyone, we got the crap draw once again. And we were the only winner in the only winner bracket to where we're the winner, a winner of a group had to play another winner of a group.
That doesn't happen. Like, no, that doesn't happen.
And it happened to us. It happened to us back to back. It was in the Champions League. What, we're the only one that it's like, okay, you don't want to play one team. And who was the one that drew? Us. You know what I mean? And we just kind of got screwed at straight out the gate with the luck of the draw both times. So it's you know, if it would have been, you know, actual Inter Miami and we lost to them, sure, I'd be very disappointed. But at this point, and you see how the game went, you saw you see how all their games are gone. If they're not blowing you out, then they're gonna get help. You know what I mean? Every 50-50 call is going to go their way. Every questionable decision is going to go their way. If they have other players that should be thrown out or Messi himself, they're not going to get thrown out because they're not going to put them at a disadvantage. And that's just what it is. So, I mean, even us going after them, I got no problem with anything they did. I can't even say it didn't work. I think it was fine. You know, it was fine. We ran the game up until we gave the ref out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Antonio Carlos is barely, he goes, sticks a little hand out and it's super soft, super weak, but they're going to get that. In that position, they're going to get it. And that's just all it is to it, man.
Yeah, man, you could have spoke any language. You chose to speak facts. I appreciate that. Eddie, got to ask you, on the disappointment scale, falling out in the round of 32, where you at?
Yeah, after the Santos game, I was optimistic that, you know, we could advance, you know, the way we were playing. I thought, you know, it was a game where, you know, it's one of those games that gets you kind of galvanized to move on.
After a 93rd minute winner.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And Duncan scoring again, et cetera. And then just Cesar, complete monster of a performance. And I thought it did carry on, but like Leon said, we had to play Inter Messi and you know, risk the league that lose millions of dollars when his pay is based on, you know, how the league does and how Apple does and all of that and Adidas. And then if not, we had to play Pachuca. So yeah, we were screwed from the get go. So that context, I didn't think we would get through both of them or either one. You know, I thought with Miami, everything had to go right, but the end of the day, it just didn't. We goated the quote unquote goat, you know. Pele wasn't there, but we'll let it go. But you know, he's gonna score either way. You don't get him mad or you get him mad. Like, who cares? You know, might as well get some licks in, you know.
Yeah.
This is like anyone who has a little brother understands that they're gonna annoy you, so might as well get a couple shots in while you can. So you know, so I didn't mind that approach personally. I thought we did what we could. I think it's also it was good on Oscar to do that, because what I think it tells you, your team, is that I believe in you guys, I trust you guys to, you know, and nobody lost their head. They kept it calm. They reacted well until the end. But at that point, who cares? But people kept their head. They stayed in there as Messi tried to push. He tried, if you look at it before he kicks Wilder, he tries to like trip him. He does the whole put your foot over, try to shove him, but Wilder didn't move. And believe me, as a spouse of Peruvian and half Peruvian kids, they're always heavier than they look, you know. There's something about, they just have heavy bones. I don't know why, but it didn't work. So he kicked him like a little baby, you know, just like a little brat. Oh, I can't shove you over, I'm going to kick you, you're not looking, you know, what a jerk. Oof. So yeah. And I thought our boys, despite having the refs and all that, they handled themselves well. And to me, that has an impact, even though we didn't win, from the coaches saying, I trust you guys, I believe in you guys to carry out this plan. We're not going to sit here just scared and just wait to counter. You know, we're going to take it to them and stuff like that. So I think that was the right call. It's just a tough situation. We didn't play well enough to overcome the disparity, the 12, the 13 versus 11. And that's just what happened. And Pachuca would have been a tough out anyway. So it just, we were screwed.
It's true. Yep. We were damned if we do, damned if we don't. That's what happens when you got the luck of the draw that we did. And it is what it is. That's part of the League's Cup charm and it being an unbalanced tournament. And us and Miami's group were really the ones that got shafted, but us more so because of what we had to deal with. If we won or if we came in second, we were in a tough spot no matter what. But that'll bring us
behind us.
Yep, exactly. So that'll bring us to everyone's favorite segment on the show. You know, I didn't poll the listeners, but I'm assuming they love it. And that's stock up, stock down. I'm actually going to kick this one off. For me, my stock up, I'm giving stock up to Felipe. He didn't play a huge role in this game, but the fact that he immediately just went and started talking smack right in Messi's ear immediately. And I know I mentioned Hercules Gomez earlier, but I'm going to mention Hercules Gomez again. The fact that he's like, Felipe's coming on. I can't wait to see him talk with Messi. And then 2 seconds later, he's posting the video clip of Messi and Felipe jawing at each other. I was just like, God, I love that guy. My stock down in this instance, it's going to go to Kyle Smith. And that it's harsh because of what he has to guard. But you could just tell that kind of talent, it's just such a tier above him. And it's hard. And it's one of those things, like, I don't think he was necessarily poor given the grand scheme of things, but he's poor given what the situation was. And there's really not much that we can do about that. I'll go ahead and hand it over to Cleon first. Cleon, give me a stock up, stock down.
Stock up. I'm gonna go Cesar. I'll go Cesar. That was pretty, I guess I can't even say national, what probably a world audience, probably kind of a little bit of a coming out party, I would guess you could say. Even with the second goal getting called off, I mean, at the end of the day, people still saw it, you know what I mean? So it's, I'd say he definitely raised his stock literally. So I'll definitely go Cesar. Stock down. I'll go every other MLS team that doesn't play into Miami. I'm sorry, into Messi. You know, your stock is down. The refs do not care about you.
We feel that very much down to the deep core. Alex, go ahead and give me your stock up, stock down.
Well, because Cleon took my Cesar, I will go with Duncan, only because he looked good against Messi. But I was going to say Cesar because he had a good moment and he goaded Messi multiple times. But stock down goes to Pedro because Pedro gave up multiple goals against Messi for the first time in his career. So
it's a little harsh.
It's harsh, but it's true. So I feel bad for him, and it is what it is. I don't want to go after anybody else because it was a well-fought match, but I could go stock down against the whole refereeing thing, but we've beaten that to death. So
I think we spent about a good 20 minutes on that, yeah.
At least.
All right, Eddie, you're going to tell me the one person that I think we're missing on stock up right now, right?
I don't know, to be honest. Cesar was good. I think that he really, he added to his value there. His transfer value, because he showed up in a big game. I think if I'm a scout and I see Cesar just look at Messi like he ain't nobody, and walk off the pitch like that with Messi just harassing him and that.
And he scored a goal.
And he scored a goal. He scored two. Yeah.
Kind of scored a goal.
The only other goal in his career.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. And it's only third goal. Third goal, he said. Yeah. And then walking off the pitch while he's baiting him with that mate beef breath.
And then these people go and find out and look him up and see how young he is. And they're like, then they really be like, oh, wow.
Right. You know exactly. I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Too. I like the way Wilder was taking nothing.
Watch him get called up next time.
Right. Yeah, man, bro. If so, one thing Uruguay just don't like,
guarantee you that,
bro. One thing Uruguay just don't like is, except for Facu, is Argentinians, you know, so they might just bring him just for that, because bro, he wasn't taking nothing from Pessy. He was just walking down the thing and he was just like, bro, you know lay off that you know, that kind of really, you know, get take a minute or something, because Messi was just so angry, right? He was just scolding a youngsters like half his age for like was, you know, all the way mad. To the locker room.
That's
all the
what we yeah, have to treasure.
Imagine Cesar already has to deal with Messi talking with no personal space or all in his face, and then walk by a porta potty to get to the locker room. It's just all kinds of smells. Poor Cesar. So double stock up for him. Stock down for Facu. Is it stock down? I thought in some of these games against Atlanta, he just never seems to play well. And I didn't think he made that much of an impact. Now it's a bit harsh, but It would have been a great for him, great for the resale value.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, he felt a little invisible. It felt a little visible at times, and I thought this would have been a great time for him to make a big mark, like he did, like Cesar did. You know, transfer exactly. value. Exactly. It was a little bit of a young guy playing against his idol. You know, starstruck, seeing a little loss. And Ojeda, when he comes in, you know me with Nani, I defended him. I don't care about Tidy with some of these players. Try to make plays happen. Ojeda, to me, is what Faku should have done. Ojeda came in and tried to make stuff. It didn't come off all the time, but try to make something. Try to impact the match. I thought Faku didn't do that. And stock down is going to be really harsh.
Oh, yeah.
Really harsh. I got one more stock down. It's going to be really harsh. Rafa Santos for asking for Pessi's jersey. Yeah,
that's it. Who actually got
Rafa Pessi's Santos got it.
Rafa he Santos. Did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can I interject here with the Facundo? It doesn't help that Facundo now has as many goals in all competitions as Messi has in League's Cup.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to let that sink in because I'm gonna argue with you on that one.
Okay.
You're dealing with two different classes of players. You know, I'm not going to sit
referees
here.
Referees or just...
We can beat that to a dead horse or continue to on that. I'm not going to deny that Messi's not the best player in the world. He still is. Facundo's far from being the best player in the world. He's still growing and developing. So I'm not going to put as much stock in that as I feel like you are, just because I feel like we need more out of Facundo. Huh?
No, I don't think Facundo is a top 100 player in the world, but you're right. We can't put that stock into him. You're right.
Yeah. We definitely need more out of him, though. And I'm not going to disagree with that. And that's why I think Eddie's spot on it. You know, we definitely needed a better performance out of him. I was hoping that Eddie was going to give a little bit of love to Wilder just because of the fact that he was the one who actually got the fouls off Messi that got the card. And then Cesar was the one that should have gotten Messi's second card. But again, I'll digress.
Wilder was the one that got the yellow?
No, yeah, Wilder drew Messi into getting his yellow. Yes.
Yeah. No, Cesar should have had. Cesar should have.
I thought it was
his foul. No, Cesar's getting fouled should have been Messi's second yellow. But no, Wilder did great. Didn't take any crap from Messi as well. And I just both know of them Wilder best Beast brothers.
Boy, so.
Oh yeah, Wilder Beast. Yeah, I just want to give him a break off. And to me, Cesar, because of the him walking off like that, made me so proud. I was like, get him, boy. Don't listen. You know. Don't let that guy punk you out, man. I just love that. He was just walking side by side. He was like, uh-huh, yeah. He wasn't even looking him in the eye or nothing. No glaze. You know, he was like, bro, get out of my face.
I don't want to think of a world where Cesar's not a city player. But, like, there's something about Cesar that just tells me that he would thrive playing under a manager like Diego Simeone.
Oh,
dark arts, baby.
Oh man, that's a match made in heaven right there,
100%. We're getting back to the European season, might as well toss a shout out there. But
yeah,
all right guys, so we thought we'd have some fun today and do some mid-ish season rewards because we're a little bit past mid-season with League's Cup, but we got some time to kill because we still don't play for another 9 or 10 days by the time this goes up. So Eddie, go ahead and start first. What's your give me your goal of the season so far?
Oh, best goal of the season. Jeez. Oh, the goal that got me the most excited was gotta be the goal against Santos. You know, that was the last one. You know, that was great.
Wilder for the win.
It was just, you know, because it was underrated because he had no space and just snuck it right under his, you know, right between he and Magnum just What a nice little touch to that. That was my favorite goal. Is that the best goal? I don't know. I'll go with that as my favorite goal. But best goal, well worked and all that stuff.
I mean, that one deserves some shout, too, just because of the fact that it started with a Cesar tackle going like 5-on-2 to break it up. Exactly. And then he got all the way in the front to make the assist to Wilder at the end. So I think build up that definitely deserves some praise for being pretty.
I react crazy when we score. I get up and I go, I'm right by the aisle. I get up by the aisle and I like blackouts. I don't feel like I remember all the goals. So that one, it's the most recent, I think. So I'm going to go, that's my best goal. We'll leave it there.
I'll leave your recency bias. Alex, I saw you had your hand raised, man. Go ahead and let me know what you got.
you're killing me with the Santos goals, because I was going to say the Mauricio goal against Santos. So
that was a beauty. I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed with that.
Upper 90 to the right. Yeah. Chef's kiss.
I knew there was a goal in that game. I knew there was a goal in that game.
For sure. But
I knew there was a goal in that game that I missed. That was great. And I, like I said, I forgot about it. You know,
I literally, we were talking about this earlier in the night, and I'm scrambling and looking at highlights. I'm like, I literally had to search my own tweets and look for sex ball. And of course, this goal came up, and I'm like, oh, I meant that. So
that's all good. Cleon, what's your goal of the season so far?
Look, man, you can go with like a Mauricio with the banger, but at the end of the day, you've seen those before, man. You've seen those before. You might not have seen
Mauricio.
It from him. You might You might not have seen it.
Few and far between.
You haven't seen it from him before, but you've seen those before.
Yeah, look, I've seen it.
Even the Wilder, and I love that one. That's probably our biggest. That's probably our biggest goal, I would say. But there's only one goal this season that I can honestly say I've never seen before. And you know who that is. You know that's the man. You know that's Duncan with the tackle goal, bro. With the slide tackle. With the slide tackle to goal. Come on, man. I ain't never seen that before.
Philly, correct?
Against Philly. And Cleon, it's just
nobody's seen that before, bro. When have you seen that?
And Cleon, his description afterwards is hilarious. He's like, I didn't get the best touch. Well, it was a brick of a touch. It was like Timberland's touch, you know, like wearing steel toe boots. And he goes, and I saw the defender had it a little bit loose, so I thought I could tackle it from him. That's what he literally said. It's like quote for quote. And I saw, I got up, and he gets up. It's hilarious because he gets up and he just finishes so coolly. He reminds me of those little kids who like fall and trip and they don't get hurt. You know, you ever see those kids on this playground? They just fall down the slide and they just keep going. Like he literally lost the ball, tackled some dude, got up and just calmly slotted it by Joe Pendick. Yeah. Like nobody's like business.
We've had some nice ones, some pretty ones. Even if you go all the way back to Champions League and all that, bro. But with the bicycle kick. But at the end of the days, we've seen all these before, man. We've seen them somewhere. You never seen the slide tackle goal, bro. Never.
Nah, I was pretty, and that definitely got our friends over at Extra Time and Matt Doyle hyped because he was all in on the Duncan train. You just mentioned the one that I was going to say, though, and I got to give it to Urchankara with the bicycle kick against Tigres, because you said we've never seen that. We've also never seen a bicycle kick goal in an Orlando City kit before, to my knowledge. Not that I remember.
Are you sure? So, I thought Don Dwyer had it.
No, we absolutely. We've seen plenty.
Who?
Ones that went
Bro, in. you don't remember the one where Molina almost kicked Julio Batista's head off.
Yeah,
in NYCFC.
But yeah, he didn't jump in the air to win the game. It went off Batista's head.
No, it didn't. Batista said himself he didn't get it.
No, it didn't. That was all Molina.
They credited it to him.
He's done that.
No, they didn't.
Dom Dwyer's done it.
Dom Dwyer's definitely.
I think there's overhead kicks. He's done an overhead goal. But a bicycle like Urchinkata's, I don't think so. Molino's
absolutely was. Molino's head was like almost
in international duty.
No, Molino did it against NYC.
No, bro,
that's NYCFC. What I'm saying.
Yeah, no, but
international
but what,
duty. What do you mean? I'm confused.
You're talking about Cara against an international foe.
Oh, international duty. Matter. Against Tigers, whatever.
No, but, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but look, Mike is just hanging. Look, I like Cleon's because it's hilarious. We haven't seen it before, and Duncan did a Higuita butt tackle and got right up and scored. That's hilarious. And then, but let Mike have the Urchinkata, Cleon, because Mike still, you know, Mike got Urchinkata with like 25 goals this year. Let him have
no.
Oh no, he's got that. I'm just
swag had him.
We've 100% seen multiple bicycle kicks.
Okay, well, I'll check the tape. Swag is the one who had him with 20 goals. I had him with 15. So, but that brings us to our next award, which is MVP. Which I feel like I know who a couple of you guys are going to say as far as MVP.
Can we just say it in Harmison or
no? Because I don't think it's going to be Zoom, and we're not going to be able to get it, so it sounds good. So, Cleon, I'm going to give it to you first, man. Who's your MVP?
Oh, man. Oh. You got to come back to me, man. It's too hard. It's between like three people, man.
Well, everyone just assumed you go with Duncan. We're proud of you.
He's one of the three, but like it's yeah. Bro, there's been like three people to where it's like they crucial, man.
Yeah.
Like they changed the season around. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna say any names. I'll let y'all go first. So because I'm sure at least three of those are probably in there.
I ran my mouth first, so Duncan, come back to me.
Eddie, who you got?
I am going to say it's a theme today, buddy. I'm gonna go with little Satan's brother himself, Cesar Araujo. My man, I just love. Two. Yeah, I just love the way he is, man.
There's two or three right there.
I love how he sets himself up for fouls. I like how nonchalant he is. Man doesn't even bother to get a haircut. He just does it himself. And what he did.
Come on, man.
Hey, maybe when John Moutinho left.
But he gets a haircut like he's. Come on.
He gets a haircut like magic. This guy probably sleeps on the floor on purpose. City Furniture, City Furniture, don't be a sponsor. You guys suck. But you sponsored the team. You sponsored the team. So he probably gets a free bed. And you know what? He's like, you know what? I don't like this. This is like a soldier when they come back from war. They feel like a bed as a marshmallow. Remember, even Captain America talked about that with the Falcon. He probably sleeps on the floor and he just does his hair or he brushes in the shower or something. Like he brushes teeth in the shower and then cuts his own hair and just, you know, efficiency because he's ready. He's studying spells and angles of how to get fouled, who to foul and where to foul. And he's improved his game. He's improved his game because it's not just the dark arts. He did that already. And I find it hilarious. The guy's like 21 and he's this evil already. It's hilarious to me. It's just, imagine raising that kid. You know, you're just like, dad, this guy is just a thug. And you see, he's like 11. You know what I mean? Just know him. You've seen those like 3 or 4 year olds. You're like, this kid's out of control. He's a thug, like a little cousin or a nephew. That's what Cesar is. And I just absolutely love him for it. And man, you know, he's got a haircut like he's in prison. You know, I don't got time. I just know barbers, you know, lining up. I'm just going to take care of this myself. And it never looks like it grows. So, you know, he does it all the time. So I just love. And then the Messi walking off the pitch after knocking Messi and not taking his crap, that just sealed the deal. I mean, if I have a son, it might be Cesar. And I think I might take off the head off my shirt and just wash it a couple times and then put Cesar on the back now. I mean, I am smitten with Cesar Araujo right now. He is my MVP. And look, all jokes aside with the extra stuff, he's improved. His versatility being almost more box-to-box this year has been crucial. Getting
more forward, for sure.
Yeah, he's getting more forward. His ability just to play well, to go from a single pivot, to be that young and be trusted with a single pivot like he was last year, to play in a double pivot, to play smoothly, to have that engine, to be reliable, to never to be hurt, to contribute with goals, to make clutch plays like he did against Santos. You know, that's MVP worthy right there.
Yeah.
Then you add the extra stuff on top, you know? Little thuggery, then yes, you've stole my heart right there.
Cleon, I'll give it right back to you in a second, but I just want to say the haircut line, man, you got me thinking in my brain that when Zhao left, he left those shears in Cesar's locker. Like, yeah. The Clippers right there for you, man. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Cleon, you've been thinking now. Who's your MVP?
No, I told you I had three people, man, and they already got the first two out the way for me. So at this point, I'll just take the number three since they already got the other two. Underrated, man. And I don't even know if I could say he's honestly the MVP as in like he's the best player on the team. I don't think he is. But Wilder Cartagena, bro.
Yeah.
Once he came in and it just unlocked everything to me. Like, come on, man. Let's be real. We was all ready to throw this whole everybody out the window. You know what I mean? Until that change was made. And that's why it's hard because it's even like you got like a guy like Faku who, you know, he's producing. He's got some stats out there now. You know what I mean? He's getting stats out there, but I can't even consider him. Like he's not even in the running for me. And that's saying something because it's this team was underperforming, man, like to the point to like I said, everybody's ready to throw everything out the window, start over. Until that change was made when Poppy, he put Cartagena, And it's been a totally different, it's been a totally different outlook from that point. So what a Cartagena. I'm gonna have to, that was my other guy when I was saying it's like in between three people, man. Like, I'll say Cesar's probably been the best. I'll agree with Eddie. I think Cesar's been the best individual player all around. But it's so hard to figure out who's the most important guy. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's so hard, man, because like I could say Cesar, but then you know, we saw Cesar before Cartagena was in there, and even Cesar, and mind you, Cesar was playing, he was playing well even when we were struggling. But Wilder came in, and not only the team took a jump, but Cesar's took a jump. And everything, man. So yeah, man. Wilder, Duncan too. They've changed the whole game, man.
No, I agree. I think you guys got all three that I would have expected to hear. I will add, and this will be a debate for another episode probably, but I think the fact that we're all looking at an MVP that none of them are any of the three designated players that we have shows that we might have some decisions or things to we want to think about as far as, because we need to have more out of your DPs. That's something that you need to expect right in this league. And my MVP, I'm echoing Eddie. It's Cesar, especially seeing some of the growth that he's made and being a little bit more of an attacking force too. Dude draws fouls like crazy. He is a passing machine. You know, I like a lot of what he struggled early this season with passing, but man, has he figured it out. Next one is our most improved.
Well, one more love sonnet to Cesar real quick. Say he might take the number two around his hair, you know, just little clippers number two, but he's number one in my heart. That's all I want to say.
Man, oh man, was it?
Come on, man.
Valentine's Day in August out here. What's going on? So next up, we got most improved player. I'm actually going to lead off on this one just because I kind of have a hard time with the most improved player because I'm trying to think year over year who I think has really like earned that award. And I don't know who I want to give it to, but I want to give it to someone who I think has improved the most from the beginning of the season to where we are now. And I got to shout out my dog, Rafa Santos, because man, when he started this year, we definitely were really quick to judge. It took him a little bit to get adjusted, but man, I can't imagine this lineup without him right at this point. So shout out to him. He's my most improved, even though it's just not year over year. It's just within this season.
I could agree with that.
Man,
you can pass me. I'm on the same page as you on that one. I can't even say I initially was even thinking that, but yeah, for sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's it for me.
Alex, you wrote up the rundown and you came up with this award. Who you got in mind?
So far, I'm going to say Antonio Carlos, because I'm happy with what he's done on defense. I'm happy with him being able to perform and being able to premiere. He had some issues with injury last year, and I'm hoping we don't have to see that again. I hope I'm not jinxing that. But
well, this year too, a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, but he's still been out there and he's been looking good. He's been making our guys look good. So he's been most improved from my opinion.
Okay, I can respect that. I think an MVP too. I mean, it makes a difference when he's out there too. He really does. Yeah. His ability on the ball, it's just steadiness, you know. It really
he's important.
Ability forward when it gets distributed.
Yeah, and he's big goals a few times. I mean, one time and close, but yeah, he has a big impact. But most improved, you know, I think it's Rafa Santos. You know, just you know, it really is, and he's playing with more confidence. And I think me and Cleon were one of the few online who were fighting back, like, bro, this guy got here, new league, new language.
Give him time, yeah.
Everything, yeah. Give him time.
Well, my thing. But my main thing was he didn't have any minutes. I was like, I don't know if the dude's good or not.
Yeah, yeah. The verdict was out after like 10 minutes. The verdict
was
out.
He was on the field for like 10 minutes in like a sub appearance. And I was
down 3-1.
I don't know if the dude can play yet or not.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's down 3-1, and we're down like 2-0 to Charlotte. He comes in at the end, and then they're just like go in there and Pell crosses in, and then you're getting countered on because they're sitting deep, and people are like, "Oh, he sucks." I'm like, bro, slow down. And you know, a little shout out to Kyle. I think you know, I think he did my. There's times where he's exposed, but he's been overall, I think, better this year than last year.
Yeah, that was my next guy. If it wasn't going to be Rafa,
yeah, I think he's been better. And then I also think you know he showed some versatility. With playing the you know the Smithsenko role the inverted,
He was super trash at the start of the season, bro. Kyle,
he was.
I was like that dude's washed.
Yeah, yeah, but I think he's improved and everything this year within the season. But Hoffa's been improved more. But I think Kyle deserves praise for his versatility.
Yeah, good shout.
And he's played hard and he's had some good moments and has done his job and that deserves to be recognized too.
And one thing I think I'm going to go ahead and add, and just in the most improved category, because you brought up the Smithchenko role, I want to give a little bit of a most improved shout to Pareja as well, just because Poppy going ahead and trying changing up his tactics a little bit, bringing that inverted fullback, bringing in the double pivot in the midfield, those changes that we would have hoped to seen out of him in previous years, the fact that he was willing to make those changes this year, I think is part of the reason we're sitting fifth on the table right now. So because you know us, you've listened to us for a while, we were doom and gloom for a little bit there, so it's nice to see that change and that shift and us getting to a better place. So
and getting that goal score up top,
yep, that helps. Yeah. Speaking of that, that's a real good segue to our fourth of five awards, which is the hashtag not sponsored Dunkin' Donuts newcomer of the year award. Is there anyone else that wants to vote away from Duncan McGuire?
Nah, man.
He's
not just a newcomer of Orlando City. He's the best rookie in the entire league, easily. So
beyond a shadow of a doubt. Like if we're gonna sit here and say that anyone should be there over Duncan, I mean, even if you look at newcomers into MLS during MLS play so far this year, who's been a better person that came over via transfer than Duncan McGuire within MLS? You're going to have a hard time trying to guess that. I'm sure that Messi's going to end up winning the award at the end of the year, but I'm not going to really pontificate about that too much. But like, it's one of those things where you look at what he's gotten. He's on the verge of setting a Poppy goal scoring record for a number nine. Like, if he does that, oh boy, I'm going to be excited. So I know that we're all
that's just 12 too. That's so sad.
Well, that's I mean, if
it only, hey, it only, it stuff, only, he's it only makes 10. Me wish we pulled the trigger earlier, man.
Right.
Combined goals, they already beat it. So
yeah, right. You know, like me and Cleon and Mike, you're at the and JJ, we're at the preseason. We believe in intangibles. And speaking of like, well, Cesar walking off of with Messi when Duncan shoved that dude with the left hand and just looked at him like he was. You know, leftover corn in Nebraska. I was like something about this kid, right? And
Cornhusker.
Yeah, the point is you see it manifesting on the field, you know?
Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah.
Oh man, that corn fed Nebraskan, man, he knows what to do. And then last one we got, man, is Best Match of the Year award.
Hang on, I didn't get to vote.
Well, you voted by default because of the fact that it's Duncan McGuire, and we all agreed on that. If you're giving it to somebody else, by all means, but you made this award. Yeah. I know you're voting.
You named it Duncan McGuire, so we just assumed that was your vote.
Yeah, that was it.
I was talking about Duncan the coffee brand.
No. Well, who's your newcomer award winner?
Oh no, it's Duncan.
Love it.
Mr. America runs on Duncan. You heard it here first. You didn't hear it from any other t-shirts.
No, it's not else. America. Orlando runs on Duncan.
Hey,
we're going to be newcomer of the year. And whoever, Mike, was it you that said Messi would get newcomer of the year?
Oh, I would not be shocked if he did.
Screw that crap. I'm sorry. If Messi gets newcomer of the year as a man that has been playing soccer more than Duncan McGuire has even arguably been playing soccer himself
or been alive.
I don't know. That's a mixable thing, Eddie. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I think Duncan deserves it, and Duncan should be able to savor that because he's had a great year in MLS up until MLS Messi came into the league.
No, I get you. It's league award, and it's done by league press, so that's why I say I'm not going to say my feelings on it too much. Newcomer of the year
for a guy that's, what, 36 years old, 37 years old?
Yeah, but is he new to the league?
I don't care if he's new to the league.
That's what the award's for.
It's newcomer, like new pro. Like,
it's not what the award is, though.
The award sucks.
This is our award.
Bro, remember they changed the award. Remember they changed it. It was basically the rookie award.
Yeah, it used to be the rookie award.
Remember they changed it when we were supposed to win. With yes. Daryl DK, so they can give it to
this is what Almada. I'm going Rossi. On about.
Oh, Daryl it was Rossi? My bad. Obviously,
yeah, they gave Almada it to Diego Rossi because what they did is they changed it from Rookie of the Year to Young Player of the Year.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is why I'm upset.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. All right, Eddie, what's your match of the year?
Oh, man, I was trying hard when you guys were discussing there. I blacked out for a little bit. I spaced out, and I was starting to think, oh, man, here comes my recency bias again. Because to me, it's the Santos game. I don't know what else to say. I can't remember a better game than the Santos game. Maybe beating Atlanta, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with the Santos game, best match.
It's the Santos game.
Yeah,
I think
it is. Yeah.
Hey, for me, the Santos game was good entertainment. Alex, what do you got, man? What's your match?
This is also slightly recency bias, but the Toronto match, just putting up that amount of goals on Toronto and making it look like we actually know what we're doing.
No,
that's I have to enjoy match. That. It was a home match. I was at the last dismantling of Toronto in Orlando last year. That was fun, but this is more fun to watch on TV. So.
No, Toronto was
not the biggest. It's not the most performing opponent in MLS, but it's the biggest pay, and that's what we have to live on. So
that works. I like the Toronto shout. I would generally agree with the Santos shout, but I want to give other games some love. I'm going to go ahead and give New York Red Bulls on the road the 3-0 win. Away in Harrison, New Jersey. Just that was a very complete team performance. I felt like we dominated them whistle to whistle. Two goals from Facundo, one from Angulo. Just felt like a very dominant game, and I love to see it. So definitely, guys, when you see this on Twitter, when you're posting around, let us know where you're going on these awards as far as goal, MVP, improved player, newcomer, best match. Definitely want to hear from you as far as that goes. But now we're kind of winding down here. So what comes next? Obviously, next game is Sunday, the 20th against Chicago. We'll end up talking about that and doing more of a preview pod. But when we get there, I don't know. Do you guys have anything that you want to add as far as what you want to see next with the rest of the season? Alex, go ahead.
Chicago, my hometown-ish. Between that, we got a match against St. Louis, and then we go to Charlotte. That's all in the matter of 10 days. Coming off of League's Cup with, 17 days of rest? We've got 10 days of matches, and where only one of those is at home. It's not easy, but it's against teams that we have a chance against. So we got to get results.
Absolutely.
To not to make predictions, but I probably won't be on the next pod, but Chicago that's a result, especially considering what they're going up against. But St. Louis is what we're going to have to deal with. I think St. Louis is a draw, Chicago's a win, and Charlotte is a draw. We get 5 points out of those three.
Cool. So.
Yeah, I'll go next. Yeah, well, what I think is we're going to see is a team that still felt they got screwed, felt that they deserved a chance to continue on a big stage, and are going to be more together, is going to play harder for each other. You know, the best thing you get in any kind of group situation, whether it's military or sports, is playing for each other, playing for the leader. I think that we're going to see that increase. I think, you know, I think Papi never lost the locker room anyways. And this team always had good chemistry. I think more so now. And I think we're going to come out, you know, get, you know, trending up, coming out with fire. I think Chicago's going to get wrecked. And I feel optimistic about this after good rest. Players can heal some. I feel optimistic. That's what I think is next. I think next is going to be we're going to climb the standings a little bit in this next stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Cleon, any thoughts?
Yeah, I gotta just piggyback off that. Like, rolling into Leagues Cup, we've been on a stretch for, I don't know, what, 11 games or so that, you know, we are probably at, like, I didn't look, but I'm guessing probably around, like, 1.8, maybe even close to 2 points a match at a point. So I would expect to, you know, stay up there and stay on that pace. And like you said, if we stay on that pace, we should start picking up. And a couple other teams should start coming down a little, I would think. And, you know, maybe we shoot up and maybe we get up to as high as maybe a 3 or so, something like that. And just keep pushing forward, man. At this point, we're all out of chances as far as cups go outside of, I would say, even Supporters Shield. That's probably not even a remote chance of that. So we're probably all out of cup contention for everything except for MLS Cup. So at this point, it's 100% focus on the season and push through.
Dang right, man. And the thing that I'll kind of add to that too is, you know, this team wasn't a team that wanted to go out of this tournament early. They wanted to compete to win it. And I feel like they're going to come back the second half of the season and they're just going to be pissed off. You know, just to be blunt, they are going to be pissed and they're going to play like, just it's gonna, they're gonna come out and they're gonna bust some nuts, for lack of a better term. Like,
especially considering they have to play 4 matches in 2 weeks. That Chicago, I was just looking at this, sorry Mike, but the Chicago, St. Louis, Charlotte, and Cincinnati run is all in 2 weeks.
Good thing we're well rested, because
they're gonna be mad. You're right.
No, they're going to be mad, and that's the thing, is they got business to take care of. We got 11 games left this season, and I'm with Eddie. I'm with Cleon. I think that it's, at this point, it's all about race for top four, and we got two teams. We got two games against teams that are ahead of us on the table in, or actually 3 games, because we got one on Cincy too, but I don't think we're catching them. But Nashville and New England, those are going to be 2 games that I have circled on the calendar, because those are teams that we got to beat to try and move up and get ahead of them. So, and I think that we can do that. So I'm excited for the back end of the season. And that brings us to the end of the show. So we got some time for some shout outs. Eddie, I'm going to go head over to you first. You got a shout out?
Yeah, you guys kind of mentioned it earlier, but Felipe, man, coming in there with the noise. And then I think we tweeted it out, right? And Felipe was,
clown emojis and stuff on our posts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would give the proceeds from my Inter Miami ticket sales to hear what Felipe had to say to him. Cause that just, I love how we weren't fanboying over him like that. Atlanta didn't even foul him once. I mean, what panties, you know, but our guys went in there and just gave it to him. And Felipe, buddy, you know, I appreciate you. So shout out to Felipe for that. And shout out to the pitch from the Phillies. He threw a no-hitter with Vans on. Like, I didn't know Vans made cleats. Do you know that, Mike?
I saw that. Those cleats look sick.
Yeah, white Vans, Mike, of all people, you know, who I thought would be on top of Vans. No offense, it's you.
No.
But Vans are coming back, right? They're trending again. They seem to be like a trendy shoe.
I don't think they went anywhere.
Yeah, true. Maybe, but
he just hadn't thrown a no hitter in a while.
Yeah, but throw a no hitter in some Vans, that's pretty dope.
Love to see it. Cleon, you got a shout out for me, man? Oh, he's smiling. He's got something.
But I ain't had nothing, man. I just came from the bathroom. I was literally in the chat. I'm like, "What? Hey, what segment are we in?" I just got back from the bathroom, bro.
I didn't read it. All right, it's so just funny, man. That's it.
All right, so we're in shout outs.
We're doing it live.
Yeah, man. Shout out to. I ain't got no shout out today, man.
Hey, fair enough. All right. Ryder, who you got?
I'm going to take his. Eddie.
I got a shout out.
Oh, A&W Root Beer.
I got a shout out.
Let him talk.
I got one. I got a shout out. Last time, I think my last shout out, I was disparaging doctors. So I've been gone for a minute, and then any long time listeners of this show, you know, I've been accused many times of bad juju, and me putting a bad mouth on things, and then things coming true. So you know, I disparaged doctors a little bit, and then I've been out for like a month ever since. So I'll say this: yeah, I feel a little better. After I went to the little doctor, man. But I don't know. I think it's just my natural. I don't know how much credit I could give it to them, man. I think I'm starting to think it's just my natural give back. You know what I mean? I'm older. A lot of people don't understand my age. I'm an old man, but I know I look very sexy and very young and exuberant for my age. You know, good body, all tightened up. You know what I mean? You know, I'm just getting better like wine, but you know,
that could just be newcomer of the year. You know,
yeah, man. So I mean, it's just, you know what I mean. I think it was just a matter of time before my natural DNA started kicking back in and getting back to the point. So, I don't need doctors because I mean I've forgotten to take my pills for like the past 3 days, and I feel kind of the same. You know what I mean? I feel kind of the same as when I was taking them. So I'm starting to think it was me.
Wow, so, that was a long way to just to
it's give not yourself you.
A shout out. I'm starting to think it was me. So I'm gonna shout out myself and my DNA.
We got a new sponsor, Cleon's DNA.
Cleon's DNA.
Cleon,
bottle it up.
Different.
Bottle it up. I'm built different. I'm built different.
I guess that brings it to me then, because Alex, you were just shouting out your root beer, right? Just to.
Oh, I didn't even get to start talking because. Oh,
okay, no, go ahead then.
A shout out to root beer, and to root beer float day, which was recently and got me in trouble on Twitter. But Malta?
Malta. Mm-hmm. Malta. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, delicious.
I'm gonna go find some because I want to try and enjoy it, but yeah. Root beer. And more recently, the root beer float popsicles from Trader Joe's that my wife bought me recently, which were just as good as the real thing.
That sounds suspicious.
It's pretty good. It's literally just root beer wrapped around a normal frozen vanilla popsicle.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Pretty good. Pretty enjoyable, but root beer, because I love root beer, and I've always been a big fan of root beer, and I know it's not everybody's favorite thing, and I know it's the candy corn of sodas,
yes,
according to a certain member of this podcast, but
with horrible taste.
Yeah.
Cleon, do you feel that way too?
Yeah, Cleon doesn't like my taste
either. No, he's got Eddie has. Oh God, we're not getting into it. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah. Look, root beer and cream soda are the candy corn of soda. It is what it is. That's why people add ice cream to it,
Mike,
to make
you
it
got
to make it pop.
Or am I in the minority here? But Mike, come on.
No, I'm a root beer person, but you got the wrong.
I'm a root beer person. I'm more a root beer float person than a root beer person.
That's why I was saying root beer float day was a couple of days ago, and that's what I got attacked for.
Yeah, look, root beer tastes like penicillin and, you know, candy cigarettes blended together, and or amoxicillin, whatever that antibiotics with the white stuff that's like white, looks like chalky. We all had that at some point, right?
That's literally all antibiotics.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Boom. You got it. There you go. Science class. Take, pay attention, class kids. And yeah, you take that and add candy cigarettes from the ice cream man back in the days when you could walk around looking cool with a candy cigarette and put that into a bottle. That's root beer. And the reason that they put it with ice cream is because you need to add something to make it taste better. Like you got a dry cake at a birthday. You know, you say you got some ice cream to hide the fact that it's dry. And that's what happens with root beer. And that's why candy corn's only out during October, during Halloween, because nobody wants that crap the rest of the year.
You guys, I buy this from Walmart twice a month. And if you really need me with it, it's with whiskey. Come on now.
Wow. Jeez.
So okay. I am a root beer guy, but I don't drink A&W. Barks is superior. And
Barks
also,
feeling official root beer of the Chicago Bears. So maybe because I haven't been drinking Barks is why the Bears haven't won a Super Bowl in my life.
Who wants to drink something named after a tree skin?
Oh, Barks. Shout out Montgomery, Alabama, too. I don't know how I forgot that.
Oh, boy.
Shout out Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah, shout out Chairs.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we swim now.
Cleon out here shouting out Scuba Gooden Jr.
Yeah, Scuba Gooden Jr. We swim now. So
Aquaman.
Watch out now, Aquaman.
Oh, man, my shout out was just going to go to the Inter Miami ticket office. Great job making sure your fans can't go to the games. I saw those resale tickets. You guys got 7,000 tickets up for resale right now.
Your ticket office is in a container park. Come on.
That's probably why it's all messed up. They don't got internet that can get through those metal doors. So, but
yeah,
we'll call it a day there. I just saw a bunch of the Inter Miami people complaining about it, and then, like, for a second I felt bad for some of the people that have been down there for the beginning, and then I thought about it and I was like, I hate you guys though. So
yeah,
but
they deserve it.
Yep, that does it for me. That does it for all of us here tonight, guys. We're heading out. We hope that you have a good night. As always, vamos Orlando. We'll be back with another episode of the Lions Den soon before we get back into action against Chicago, so check back
go
in about
Charlotte
a week.
Against Miami. Come on.
Yep, go Charlotte. Go Charlotte.
All right, guys. See you guys.
Later.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.